Okej.
We are into XML. Last week we looked at XPath as a way to identify nodes, parts of an XML document. Tomorrow, we'll look at APIs for accessing data. So when we write programs, we will typically access data. We could use XPath to find certain nodes, but to retrieve the content of the nodes in a program, we would like to have an API where we can actually access data. And sometimes we would like to create nodes to change the structure of an XML document, and that's where the XML APIs comes in play. So we are somewhere down here, not too many weeks to go, and I think this time of the year you start to get filled up with all the various things we talked about. Luckily, the DOM, the object model that we talk about today, is very much linked to XPath in the way of thinking. It's a tree structure. In one way, we address a tree structure. In this case, today and tomorrow, we'll look at how to iterate, how to use the API to actually move up and down the tree structure that we already talked about last week. So these topics are connected. But first, assignment 5 is out. It's new of the year. It's probably more work than the last couple of assignments. I mean, Dipti has probably been nice to you, and I'm tough with you when it comes to the amount of work. So if by the end of the week, if you see that this is far too much, then give me some feedback, and then we'll see what if I need to do some adjustments to it. It shouldn't be far too much, but of course, since I know this stuff, it's hard for me to say. So what I wanted to, the reason why it is a bit big is that it will contain XPath, because that's the topic of last week, and that's a query language for hierarchical data structures, so I think it's important, the same way as SQL is. So the first part is an XPath part, and the second part is using the DOM. So today we haven't talked about the DOM API, so it's hard for you to do the second part, but the first part you could already start working on it. The second part is using DOM API to iterate. And to make sure that this is not considered an isolated kind of activity, isolated technology, the task of this assignment is the XML document that we used a little bit last time. You're going to read all the content in the XML document and put it in a relational database. So that's quite a common use of XML. You use it for export. So you take somehow data into XML format, ship it to this database site, and you write an import script that import the data and put it into the database. So we can go back. The XPath is nothing much to say about it. It is a file that we saw last time, and I had a comment before the lecture starts, is that the file has some Unicode character entities that end up being entities even in the database. So I'll probably going to make a new version of that XML file, so you don't have to worry about the UTF encoding. So we get it into Norwegian characters straight into the database. But other than that, there are 10 of them, and as we usually design this, the first ones are pretty simple, and then as you move down, they're getting harder and harder. And the two last ones need to cross-link various parts of the document, as we did at the end of the XPath lecture last week. I would be in my office, and the teaching assistants would be there, and they could help you if you have problems. If you remember, the way to do this is you go into your browser, you open the XML document, and you go to the developer tools, and then you can write in. And as you remember, it's a good idea to start by getting the root. Oops, I still have my English keyboard. And the function we use is the x, let's see, x, and then if we remember what we did is we searched for some node sphere logs, which is the root of the tree, and we get to the parent, which represents kind of the document, document root. And if you now want to find all the clubs, we just do x, and we find the query sphere logs, which is the root node, clubs. And we are relative to the root node. And this gives us the clubs element. And if you go there, we find that the clubs element have four clubs underneath. So that's the way. So think about how the query should be like and enter it into this X function and see if the results you get is what you expect. See if the nodes satisfy the needs. Of course, you couldn't know for sure whether there should be other nodes implemented by the return, but at least you get to see that the nodes you did return are of the proper node name, and it has satisfied the query as far as you can see. Is that pretty straightforward? Same as you did with the SQL, hopefully. You create a database, and you run the queries and look at the results to see if they looked kind of likely, as likely results. 10 varying combinations of types of queries. As you remember, there are two types of results from an XPath query. You can query for a node list, and even if there's just one node or no nodes that satisfy your query, there will be a list. And the list may have zero, one, or many elements. So we can go into the return of the node list to see what the result is. But then we also have the aggregate functions. Like here, find the total distance. So we can do a sum, and we can count elements and sum up the value of elements. So in this case, you get an integer number back, not a node list. Hopefully you remember that from last time. Now, the first part of the first task of part two is to design a database, which means a UML model. So we go back to where Depty was when she started talking about modeling, the conceptual model, UML modeling, strong and weak entities, relationships, primary keys, potentially partially primary keys, and whatever alternative keys, whatever you find that is proper to add. And for that, you just include the UML model, what it should represent. If you go to the sphere logs, so what you find here is that there are actually four, if I were to give you a little bit of a hint, there are actually four types of information that you need to store. One would be information about clubs, one would be about skiers, and of course, if you look for skiers, they have these logs. So for each skier, you need a log, which is a multi-value attribute, so you probably need to design or either that or a separate entity type. But there is also something about the relationship between skiers and clubs. Because what's here is that you can see for each season there is a list of skiers skiing for this club, and in the next season there is a new list of skiers. So a skier may change club from one year to the other, may join a club or may leave a club or switch clubs. So the affiliation or the relationship between the skiers and the clubs for a given year needs to be in the database as well. So that was the hint. after you create the database or design the database, you need to create it. And create means generating SQL. And we had a question for the last assignment as well. Do you have to write the SQL statements first in text and then generate it in PHP MyAdmin and do the same thing twice? No. I mean, if you use the PHP MyAdmin UI to create the tables, that's fine. And then you just export your schema into an SQL form. What I need to see would be the SQL form. And what I want to see and we need to see is that wherever, so we need to define obviously all the attributes. We need to identify the primary keys of all tables. All tables need a primary key. And you need to represent relationships as foreign keys. So whenever there is a relationship in the UML model, there need to be one or two foreign keys, depending on the type of relationship. So in the MySQL schema, you create the tables, the attributes, the primary keys, the foreign keys, and export all of that. You can write it first, you can write it all these create statements in your editor, and then you run that SQL statement in the PHP MyAdmin, or use the PHP MyAdmin tools to create the database and you export SQL file. It's not important to me which way you go, as long as the SQL file represents the UML model. And then, that's just a warm-up, that's just a starter, because the real work would then be to get the data from the XML file and store it into the database. What may be a good idea to structure your code is to think about model view controller. In this case, I'm not so worried about the view. You can make it very simple. Just an import program, you just read or get the URL. It could be hard-coded for this exercise, or you can use PHP to upload an XML file. But as long as you can run the program on an XML file, I'm fine. You don't need to have fancy, flashy user interface. The controller, I would say, might be reading the model to read XML data into an in-memory structure. In-memory structure. You don't have to. You can use the XML structure directly to operate. But it makes sense to create. What do I mean by that? Well, you create, like if you remember the first assignment, we had objects for persons and we had objects for the different types of data that we stored in the database. The same here, so you can have a class for skiers, a class for clubs, and what you do here in the model is you read the XML structure and return lists of skiers and lists of clubs and all the data you need. So here you need some XML model that would read the file, and then after reading it, you would store to the database, and then you have a DB model similar to what you did in the first assignment. So that is, if you do it this way, you don't have to. I mean, you could directly operate on the XML structure and generate SQL directly. But the DB model, if you do it this way, it's kind of similar to what you did already. You have a model, and from the model, you can read the data into an internal structure. You can take the internal structure, send it to the database model for storing it into the database. So here where you have all the XML traversal function, and here's where you have all the database update functions. And then you need here classes for skiers, classes for clubs, and whatever you think would be convenient. The XML model would return sets of skiers and clubs, and the database model would store skiers and clubs into the database. Did that make sense? The first assignment, you got kind of the structure, the outline, and you just filled in the functionality. Here you have the choice. How do you want to implement this? And you don't have to. But the model view controller architecture pattern gives you a nice, clean design. So it's easy to work on the various parts. Here, you work on traversing the structure and retrieving information about skiers and clubs from the XML structure. You just return it here. You don't care about how it's going to be stored in the database. And here, when you have that structure, you can just put it into the database, not worrying about how it was stored in XML document. If you understand the idea. I was originally thinking to say that you should write some tests for this, but you had quite a number of issues getting tests to run in the first place, and this is already quite a big assignment. So I'm not requiring any tests, but if this is straightforward for you to do, I recommend that you do write some simple tests for one, for reading XML structure and parsing it to here, and two, for writing whatever structures you have into the database and see that the write operation is proper. So you could write a few tests if you want to drill writing tests. But if you are far too busy doing just this, then this is the most important part. You have to use the DOM API here to read data and storing it into the database that you already created. Does it sound too much? Too scary? Or too... We don't know. Yeah, that's right. Don't worry about the size of the XML document. The XML document is pretty long. There are some 120 skiers and four clubs and lots of trips or tours, skiing tours. Because you're going to have four loops. So if you have four clubs or 100 clubs or two clubs, it doesn't matter. Because the work here is per club, not how many clubs you have. So because the structure defines. So don't worry about whether the file is large. The one thing that you should look at here is the script needs to sum up the log distances. So in the XML file, we find here that for each skier, we found that this is the first trip of the year, skiing tour of the year, the second, the third. So this year, that user was out skiing three times. But what we store in the database is the total for that skier for that season. And by the way, when I talk about season, the season, the season starts in, let's say, in July and ends in June. Because the season doesn't follow the year. So when the season is 2015, there will be 2016 log entries there. Because what you ski after Christmas is considered part of the 2015 season. So winter season starts in the fall and ends in the spring. It doesn't follow the year. So that's a little bit here. But what you need to do is to add this up. And so in the model, it needs to have some functionality for summarizing the various distances that you or the guy was skiing that year. So a little bit of, it's not exactly at the first assignment. You just stored directly in the database. In this case, you need to do a little bit of computation as well. Find the sum of the distances. As I said, there have been, I had one correction already. So there was one of the queries, there was 2015, and if you use 2015, then you didn't get any results. So we changed it into 2016, which it should have been the season. So now the XPath queries should make sense, all of them. And I look at the XML document to make sure that you don't have issues with the Norwegian character sets or characters. And if you have any other experiences, just let me know, because it's the first time, so there is no guarantee that it's obvious what you need to do, or the text is good, or there might be inconsistencies, or just let me know, and we'll hopefully sort them out before too late. Final advice is it is work to some degree. Not very much, but more than just trivial work. So it makes sense to start earlier. If you start next week, middle of next week, may not be enough. It's your choice, but it may not be enough. Okay, was that good? If you have questions, because, I mean, the assignments. Assignments is for you to exercise. It's for you to practice. It's not kind of a just a gate for me to make sure that some of you don't get to do the exam. It is to give you valuable practice. So if you have problems, bring them here and we talk about them here. Because if one of you have a problem with some of these things, then probably more of you have. And we can go through them. Because it's not like you have to solve it totally independently. I mean, it's through solving that we learn. And if you learn best by discussing this with others, with me or with TAs or even in groups. So if you work in groups, please make sure that you indicate on your submission that you have worked with other guys. That's fine. Because the purpose of the assignments is for you to learn. Individual hand-ins, because anything that you hand in, you need to know and understand what it does. But you can work in groups, and if you do, then your solutions might be quite similar, so that just be fair with everyone else and say, we have worked together, and that's fine. Because the purpose of the assignments is for you to drill and understand, because just seeing me going through this doesn't help you much in understanding it fully. Okay, now. Programming interfaces to XML. There are two types of interfaces, or two standard interfaces to XML documents. One is called SAX, Simple Access to XML. And one is DOM. I'm going to say a little bit about SAX here, because some of you may come across it, and it gives you just another tool. But what we're going to be spending our time on, and what you should use for the assignment, is to use the DOM. The DOM is the richer and the more convenient API to use. But sometimes, when you have a small XML file, and you just want to get the data out quickly, then SAX is an interface to use. And you're not going to have any exercises, you're not going to have any exam questions about SAX, because it's just a very basic API, but it's still useful. How many of you have programmed event-driven systems before? Not so much. Okay. So what you have been doing now in programming is that you program the main program from A to Z, and it calls various functions. The SAX API is an kind of an event-driven API. It means that there is a main program, it's an event loop that you don't control, that would call your code when certain things happen. So like in the user interface, typical way to write user interface is to have it event-driven. The user interface here, it waits for me to do something. When I push a button, or I click a key, or I move the mouse, then a function is called in my program to deal with what the user does. The SAX API is similarly. When you write what's called content handlers. You write code that is called when the parser starts parsing, when the parser finds a new element, when the parser finds some text, when the parser finds that this was the end of an element, this is the end of a document. So there are certain events in the parsing of an XML. So think of an XML as you here. When the parser starts, it has a long file of text. It starts by saying, okay, what do I have here? Well, I have a document. And then it starts saying, okay, I have a document. Do you care about me having a document? And then you write code that you register, which is the handler, that's called whenever a document is opened. And then the parser reads on, and then it says, okay, less than, this is the beginning of a tag. And it reads, when it comes to the end of the tag, it says, hey, I found a tag, an element. Then it calls your code. Do you care about knowing that I read a new element? And if you do, then the element handler is called. And it continues that way. So it continues and finds a new element, and a new element, and an element name. And inside the element, it finds some text and some content. So for each of the types of events, meaning start, end of different types of nodes in the XML document, it can call one of those content handlers. So if we have a document like this, XML version 1.0, it has a data root node with two entries, and each of the entries have two foo elements. What's going to happen is that you can write handlers for handling various events, and when the parser comes to that event, it will see if there are any handlers registered, and if there are, it will call your handler. Is that clear? You understand what's happening? So you write a function A, and you say that whenever an element start event is detected, function A should be called with that element as a parameter. That was just part. So that's the way it works. So here, the parser reads data and then says, okay, I found data, it starts here. Now next is, I found entry, it starts, and by the way, it has an ID. And I start another element, foo, and I find some text or some characters, and I found that, so that's ABC, and then I found that foo is ending, there's another foo starting, the foo has characters, it's ended, now the whole entry is ended, I find a new entry. So these are the events, and for each of these events, we can write handlers. Oops, sorry, that wasn't what I thought. So what is the advantage of this way of reading and parsing and processing XML? Well, first, if you have a huge, think of this, if you have a huge document, now you could start processing the first element once you have it there. Because you don't have to, in the DOM, as we will see, you have to get the whole document to get the whole structure. In this case, you can start processing as soon as you get the first element being parsed. And second, you understand what I mean by parsing. So when I say parsing, it's breaking it up into chunks and that are logical units here. And secondly, you don't need space for storing the whole document. So if you have a small device and a huge XML file, then you could just read piece by piece rather than trying to load this huge file into DOM structure, and DOM structure have many pointers and lots of overhead, so you may not have room for it all. So you could fit a big document. If you have complex structure and you want to process the data in a complex structure, then you need to write quite a lot of complex data structures in your own program. In the DOM, you have full access to the whole DOM all the time, so you can go and jump in the DOM structure back and forth. So the data is represented in a good structure. But if you have start and end tags, that's all you get, and text, then you need to build up your own indexes, your own structure into the content, so that you can go back and forth between the various parts of the document as they have been parsed. I'm not going to go much in detail, but if you go to this XML example structure in the PHP manual, you see an example how such a program can look like. And if you, for instance, use XML for storing configuration files, then SUX is usually the nice thing to use. Quick and easy way to parse data from a configuration file. Not complex structure, just a number of parameters that you can quickly read off. And also, if you have XML data being streamed, so you never know when the end is, that's also a good case for this, because you can process as XML nodes come by, and you don't have to wait till the end for parsing it all, or processing it all. So this is the event-driven simple interface. Now, the more interesting is the DOM. DOM is an abbreviation for Document Object Model. So this is an object model of the content of a structured document. So the hierarchical document is represented as a tree structure, in-memory data structure. So this is the interface for manipulating XML, so you could parse XML files into trees. So when you want to process, you don't have to read the file and chunk it up and get the pieces. You could just go up and down and around in the tree structure as already created. And you can navigate then up, backwards, upwards, always in the tree and revisit nodes as many times as you want. And even more, you can manipulate trees. You can cut off branches, you can insert new nodes and new branches, you could change the content of the document and then store it back into the file. So it's a nice API for dealing with XML data, whether you want to get data from an XML document file, or you would like to change it, or you would like to create one all the way from scratch. It's a good way, it's a nice API. So you don't have to deal with all the tricky pieces of parsing the XML file structure. So, as I said, you can serialize them back, which means physically store them into a physical file. Have you heard of the serialization before? To serialize, meaning that you take a tree structure and you make it into a series of text characters. So an XML document is a series of characters, but it represents a tree structure. So serializing means that you take the tree structure you have in memory of your computer and you store it in a sequential text stream. And with XML, then you can read it back again. The good thing with the DOM API is implemented in many languages. So once we have learned this, we could use it in the different languages. PHP, C++, Java, JavaScript, C#, there are Python, there are XML DOM APIs for all the known and much used programming languages. So there's an investment to learn how the DOM is, but once you learn it, you can use it for any XML structure in any language. What is it? Well, the Worldwide Consortium calls this a platform and a language neutral or interface that will allow you to access and update the content, structure, and style of a document. We are not going to care so much about the style here. We're not working with the styles because styling is really at the view part and database is really at the model part and the controller interacts with the database. So the controller and the model is what we care about in this course, not the view, so that's we don't deal with styles. But you could use the DOM to manage and manipulate the style as well, in the same way as we. But we care about the document content and structure, the tree structure of the document. You have various parts of it. You have the core DOM. It's actually for all types of hierarchy documents, the core DOM. And then you have the XML DOM and the HTML DOM, which have some additional. So we talked about it before, that in the HTML DOM, you have, for instance, table and t-head, t-row and td, for instance. In a table, in an HTML table, you have a table that has a head, and there is a row, the table head row, and there is elements in there. In XML, these would just be elements. We don't know what they are. In HTML DOM, there will be table objects. There will be t-head objects. There will be td objects and tr objects. So in the DOM, there are objects defined for the various types of HTML nodes. In XML, it knows about elements and attributes, but nothing specific. It doesn't have any in XML. We don't have any body node. We don't have any specific nodes. So because of that, the core DOM and the XML DOM, it just deals with various nodes, the node structure, node content, but doesn't recognize any specific types of elements or any specific element names. Is that clear? As we said before, XML. In XML, we don't have any pre-existing structure. We just know that there are nodes, and we know there's one root node, and we know that there are certain rules to naming. Other than that, we don't recognize anything. But in HTML, we know that there is an HTML tag, there's a body tag, there's a table tag, there's a div tag, and in the HTML DOM, these are different classes. We have classes for all the special HTML objects. But in XML, as you will see, the core object model, it only deals with the specific types of nodes that we have in a general XML document. So, the parsing is now not event-driven. It's not like when you get to the end of an element, it's going to call an element handler. In this case, it takes the whole document and parses it and returns a DOM tree. We call it a DOM tree, but it is really a graph, as you can see here, because in a tree, you have only parent-child relationships. But here, we see there are links in between nodes at the same level. So between siblings, there are links as well. So it's really a graph structure. But the main structuring element is a tree with additional links. That makes it into graph, makes it easy to parse and traverse, but it's not really a tree structure in the true sense. So, why are we using this? Well, first of all, this is good when we want to have full access to the document throughout the whole process. So, for instance, as you're going to see in the assignment, when you deal with skiers, you're going to find information that you like to find in one place of the document while you're processing another part of the document. So you're going to be possibly accessing content from various parts of the document at the same time. And this is much harder to implement if you don't have the DOM structure, the tree structure. Then you can just move around in the tree and get whatever you want from wherever you want. And we can also use it, so whenever we want to create an XML document, we can use the DOM. The sex is just for parsing. You can just gives us the content and the structured way to deal with the content. You can't use sex to create an XML document. Now, you don't have to use it. I mean, you could write text as well. But the advantage of using... What would be the advantages of using the DOM API to create a file rather than writing the XML code directly into a file? Any thoughts? Because there's nothing that says that you couldn't do echo XML version leak 1.0. Sorry, there's a question mark. And then echo skier logs. Or use any way to just dump XML content straight out. So what's the advantage of using the DOM API and create nodes rather than writing it this way? Exactly. You don't have to worry about any of the XML well-formed requirements. Syntax, there's a closing tag for all starting tags, there are attributes aren't repeated, attributes are always in quotes, all these requirements, the syntax requirements, the well-formed requirements in XML, they are taken care of by the DOM. We just create nodes, create a structure, and the DOM API makes sure that it all comes out as valid and well-formed XML. Disadvantages were kind of the same advantages, or same as were advantages with the sex, meaning that you need to parse the whole document, and it doesn't work very well with the XML data is streamed, because you have to wait till the very end of the stream before you can bring up the DOM structure. We could take a break there, but let's dip a little bit into the first, and then we continue on this tomorrow. Because the DOM document structure is similar to the structure, the tree structure we were drawing when we worked with the XPath. You have to think of the tree or the XML documents as a tree structure. And there is a hierarchy of DOM classes. And all DOM classes inherit DOM node. The DOM node is the top of the DOM class structure, class hierarchy, and which means that everything in, so when we draw a tree, like we were drawing, so we have ski logs, and then we had, let's say, clubs, and you have club, and here we had ID equals something, and we have name, and we have some text. So this is a text node, this is an element node, this is an attribute node, and up here you have the document, which is a document node. So you have different types of classes. One for documents, one for elements, one for attributes, one for texts, one for commands. We have different types of we have different classes. And all of these classes, they are they inherit DOM node, which is the superclass of this structure. And then we have special classes, subclasses for the different types of documents or different content in the document. So we have the DOM document, which represents the complete document here. And it may be linked to a document type node. So if we define a document type, this is what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about validation and schemas. And if the document has a schema, then it will be a doc type, might be a doc type element to the document. So this is kind of the overall, represents the general content about related to the whole document. Then we talked about the content, different types of content. We have elements, attributes, text, C data section. You remember we had we can do C data like this. And then everything is here. It's just going to be character data, because otherwise character data will be parsed, which means that ampersand and less than will have special meaning. In here, they mean they are just themselves. They are not being parsed, you know, or replaced by anything. And entity reference for instance, for any Unicode character. 1, 2, 3. A Unicode character. This is an entity reference, character entity reference in this case. And we have commands and processing instructions. You remember, commands is anything that starts and ends with dash dash and larger than. And then we have the processing instructions. So for each of these types of nodes in the document, we have these classes. Before we break, if you go to the, I think this is as big as I got it. If you go to the PHP manual, you can find here the DOM, and here you find. You find all the different interfaces, all the methods. So we find, let's say, these are alphabetical, so DOM node. We'll talk about this tomorrow in more detail, what is the content in terms of structure and in terms of methods. But DOM node, which is the root, it has all these methods. So all objects in the DOM structure would at least offer these functions and the member variables. Okay, then we'll continue there tomorrow.